Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit you instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning. What an amazing, overwhelming, and totally joy-filled past few weeks it has been. Celebration after celebration. And today, the church celebrates the life of Ignatius of Antioch, one of the first apostolic fathers martyred in 115. This is so fitting for this deacon installation day because Ignatius contributed to the development of the threefold orders of deacons, presbyters, also known as priests, and bishops. He regarded the church as God's holy order in the world. And he understood, as we still do, that ordinations are a sacramental rite by which God gives authority and the grace of the Holy Spirit through prayer and laying on of hands. Thank you for your prayers, your support, and thanks to the vestry, the parish discernment committee, and especially Father Jim, Archdeacon Christie, our bishop, family, friends, and the grace of God, a new deacon ministry has been established here. And that means I have a new identity.
I'm a deacon.
Identity. We hear that word a lot these days in regards to identity theft. There's even a website, identity.gov, and it says underneath, recovering from identity theft is easier with a plan. So we need a plan. And did you know that you have to have what they refer to as a real ID now when you travel? I was in the airport a couple weeks ago and I read the poster as I was going through the line announcing that you must have a real ID by May of 2023. Oh my gosh. After my initial concern, I realized, hey, wait a minute, I have a real ID. My license has the little star on the top. But then I got to thinking about real ID. What is my real ID? What is anyone's real identity? Who are we? When I used to watch Sesame Street when my kids were little, there was a song about all the identities one person has. You know, family identity, for example, I am a sister, a mother, a daughter, a grandmother, a godmother, a cousin, an aunt, and a great aunt. And then there are professional identities, an adjunct teacher, a professor, a director, a performer, you get the idea, and now a deacon. And then there are all the other identities, the things that we do that create identities, like cook, gardener, handyman, caregiver, friend, advocate, student. The list goes on and on. Have you considered what some of your identities are? Have you considered what your real identity is? What do you consider your real ID to be? Well, the answer is more important than you might think, because our identity, how we understand ourselves to be, is kind of like our personal mission statement. An article that I read in the News Journal in September 25th bore the headline, "A Person's Core Identity Shapes a Person's Destiny." Those are pretty powerful statements. The way you understand yourself, it says, your identity, is crucial to your success in life and your progress in faith. How we see ourselves determines how we act. And the article states, quote, human beings were created in such a way that their beliefs, what we think about ourselves, determine our actions, which shape our character, which governs our beliefs, which determine our actions, which shape our character, and you get the idea. Now, this is pretty well understood in the theater community because you have to analyze a character in order to understand what motivates that character so that you know how to portray that character. You study the actions and what the person says and what other persons say about them and how they react in order to get to the core character identity. Sounds just like the newspaper article. Well, we used to say in the theater, theater is life, film is art, television is furniture. That's a joke. And I love the theater, as many of you know, so I was excited at the prospect of working with the Old Testament reading today from the book of Job, one of the oldest pieces of theater known to man. There are not many characters in it, just Job, Satan, Job's friends, one inserted voice, and the voice of God. That's the reading we have today. God's response to all the previous stuff that has gone on. What God says reveals a lot about Job's core identity, his character. Not a word is mentioned about Job's situation or his condition or all his trials and all his tribulations. God speaks, or rather thunders, a series of questions which all point to Job's insignificance relative to who created him and the earth and how the earth works. God even reminds Job that he speaks without knowledge. It's the first rhetorical question. And the answer to all of the remaining questions reveal that Job knows very little and that God, Yahweh, is creator of heaven and earth, and a human cannot possibly understand his ways. I imagine Job's dopey friends cowering in the corner somewhere while God is thundering away. After all, they have been providing Job with counsel as to why all of these disasters have befallen him. Their answers are based in Scripture. They do include religious truths. But at no time do they consider or inquire of or look to God for help and understanding. Scripture says this, so it must be this. A very cookie-cutter approach to spirituality. And I cannot fault them. We do it all the time, as if we know anything about how all of this works. We have not been called to proscribe how and why God does or does not do whatever it is. No wonder God thundered at them all. He thundered his answers so fiercely, almost as if to say, did you forget who I am? Did you forget my core identity? Maker of all things, creator of heaven and earth. Did you forget me? Did you forget who you are? It's easy to fall into that kind of boxed-in thinking. Understanding scriptural precepts and principles is not the answer, and it is not our calling. Father Jim often reminds us that it's a long way from here to here. We are called to be in a relationship with God. That is our core identity. We are His children. Scripture is important to understand and to know. It informs our relationship with the living God. But we are called to enter into conversation with Him, to listen to Him, and to become sensitive to where the Holy Spirit is leading us. God doesn't ask us to explain Him. He does ask us to believe Him, even when we don't understand. Job did not understand, but he was faithful. He kept his core identity. And in the gospel reading from Mark today, the disciples did not understand either. The sons of Zebedee are jockeying for position in God's kingdom. And like God reminds Job and his friends that they do not know what they are talking about, so too Christ must lovingly explain to his disciples that they do not know what they are asking. How many times I have asked God for something and I really had no idea what I was asking for. And later we give thanks to Him for not giving us what we asked for because we could see that it really had been not so good. And here, James and John asked to be seated at God's right and left hand. That's what they think or perceive to be great. That's the ideal, sitting in His right and left hand. Well, 7 centuries earlier, in the book of Isaiah, we find the description of the suffering servant, perfectly describing Christ's identity. It's an alternate reading for today, Isaiah 53. And Jesus' most important lesson and his self-revelation follows in the Gospel of Mark. Be a servant. Servanthood is the ideal in God's kingdom. The disciples must practice service, not authority. That's how the kingdom of God works. A servant gives. And that is the essence of God Himself. After all, He gave His only Son for our forgiveness, so that we may live in freedom to enjoy His gifts and be His beloved children. By the way, Job knew his identity. He remained faithful to God, and at the end of the story, he received double the blessings he had lost. So, I ask you, what is your real ID? Your authentic identity? No matter what all of your roles are on the earth, or have been, your one true identity that can never be stolen is that you are God's beloved child. He created you, formed you in your mother's womb, and He knows the plans that He has for you. That newspaper article titled states a biblical truth for certain. A person's core identity shapes a person's destiny. I found this poem in a recent publication of the Daughters of the King. It was written this past August by a prominent member who recently died, and I thought it was a fitting ending. It goes like this. Who are you? Who am I? A child of God. Follower of Christ, a sinner needing forgiveness. Why are you here? To do the work God has planned for me, to learn about the teachings of Jesus, to share the love of God with everyone I meet, to face the trials of being human, and to trust that God knows and cares for me. Who are you? Why are you here? Let us pray. Dear Father, creator of all that is seen and unseen, thank you for this day and for this life, which you have given us to live abundantly, sharing your light, your love, and your mercy. Help us to know and understand our true identity as your beloved children. Let our belief in you and our love for you define our core identity. May we know whose we are so that we may know what to believe and how to act to be the men and women you have created us to be. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.